hope we want to begin. So we are at the Economic Development Committee meeting of Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. Alderman, I'm here, Alderman Molschewski, Alderman Peterson, Alderman Frieders, Alderman Cole. We have staff, we have Marlis, and we've got lots of company tonight. So please sign in on Marlis's signing sheet.
That's Marla.
This is Marlis. Okay, so do we have any citizens' comments on anything? Okay, no comments. We have minutes for correction or approval from January 7th, 2020. Do we have any comments, corrections?
Negative.
It's a great meeting.
There was really good.
I missed it. I'm sorry. I didn't read the minutes. I
didn't want to point that out.
I'm
thank
so
you.
To, you're so good, I don't read them.
This is my first time.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that for me.
It was screwed up too bad. It was
awful. Okay.
Everybody left.
Okay, we're going to take those as presented. Our new business, one EDC 2020 dash, well, do we want to move anything up because we have, does anybody
we should be able to fly through all of these.
Yeah, probably.
Okay,
this is your government at work.
Okay, let's fly through. EDC 2020-07 building permit report for December 2019. Pete, you're on.
In December, we did 65 new permits were issued. Six of them were single-family homes. Six were commercial permits. Pretty standard stuff. A little slower than last December, but...
No roofs?
Actually, two.
Oh, okay.
Two. Even this weather. Yeah.
Okay. Any comments or questions on the report?
Thanks for inspecting my roof.
Okay. Let's go on to two. EDC 2020-08, the building inspection report for December 2019.
All right. December, we did 391 total inspections. That'd be for all varieties. And surprisingly, roofs were down because of the cold weather, but we still did have some on there. So.
Comments, questions on this item? Okay. Let's go to three, EDC 2020-09, property maintenance report for December 2019.
All right, we heard 11 cases before adjudication in December. You see from the list of the packet, some of them were dismissed. One was continued for, that one was continued because they gave them an opportunity to correct the violation before they issued a citation, or issued them a fine. And the ones on Cannonball Trail were just liable, and they refuse to do anything about it. So all the ones that are liable, ones we've gone after and discussed, we started a new process more recently where instead of issuing a notice of violation right away, we have door hangers we're issuing now for any property. So it's just kind of a nicer way of saying, hey, we know we're in the area, we noticed this is an issue, give us a call, we can discuss it. So it's nothing in paper, it's something that comes in the mail from the city officially. I'm more than happy to share a copy with you and bring one to me, but...
Are you getting a good response from it?
Oh, we are. We are getting a good response from it. That was one of the things we worked on with the mayor when he took office. And so, yeah, people seem to be, they're confused more than angry, which is
so they're calling so you could have a conversation.
Exactly. And it's much better than being angry. You know, we'd rather be confused and not understand what we want. That works better. We can talk to them. But we seem to get a lot of people just coming into compliance right away with that. So,
okay.
No public shaming by hammering the sign in.
Well, we still have to do that, but that would be part of the notice of violation, the second step.
So on the fencing standards for Allendale Lane, is that about the HOA's fence?
No, that one is. That was an issue with the fence that was held together with like zip ties and half falling down there in Allendale.
That sounds like the HOA fence.
That one was a residence fence, but we have had issues with the HOA's fence as well.
Okay,
and trees.
Because that was. Well, the trees were, yeah, that's Eric's problem. But I got notified today from the HOA president that there's something that we can do about the white decorative plastic PVC fence in between the neighborhood and the easement. That's something that's not regarding this.
No, that's not this one. But if they have an issue,
I'm working on it.
Okay, cool.
Charles
is, yeah, free tag is the guy.
No, this is a resident's house. If it's an HOA issue, they will say the... Association.
Cool. All right. Sorry about that.
Right. Any other comments or questions? All right. Let's go to five. EDC 2020-10, the Economic Development Report for January 2020. Lynn, you're on.
Okay. You all have your report in front of you, and I have just two other things I want to mention. One is that many of you may have noticed that our Starbucks is doing a little remodel right now. So it's closed this week, but the drive-up will open on Saturday, and then they'll have their full menu available through the drive-up for a week, and then the full inside will open a week later. So people, they always want to mention that, so they know it's a good thing. But I have a very exciting announcement tonight. I have with me three wonderful people that are here, Sheldon, Lexi, and Matthew. They are with a company called Signature Fitness, and they are going to be moving into the entire former Dick's space at Kendall Marketplace, coming to Yorkville, new business. And that is a 50 square foot space that they will be taking. And I wanted to introduce them, and they wanted to be here. And do you notice the colors that they wear? Yorkville colors.
We saw you had to be red and black.
Yeah, it was a requirement. Besides, you know, must be red and black. So they're here, and Sheldon actually lives in Yorkville.
Which ward?
I think yours.
Okay, good.
On Kennebell Trail?
Okay, good. Yes. Yep, welcome.
So, you have two of your aldermen here. So I just wanted to introduce them and tell, have them talk just for a few minutes about what they do and their timing. This project is going to bring 50 to 70 new jobs. And we're a little bit different from other fitness options in our community. So we're really excited to have them come and take the space over at Kendall Marketplace. So, Sheldon, you want to speak for a few minutes?
A couple quick minutes. Thank you for having us here. I'm super excited about the project. Obviously, 50,000 square feet is pretty big, but we incorporate a lot of sports-specific stuff, too. So I'll have everything our regular health club will have. Also, again, it'll be 24 hours. And you know, we'll bring in some baseball options, we'll get some wrestling options, basketball too. So it's going to be a fun project, looking forward to it, and it'll be definitely very unique and different, but in a good way. So cool. Excited, thank you for allowing us to be here and talk.
And they have another location in Naperville, so there's a Signature Fitness. If you Google it, you'll be drawn to that Naperville. So it's official now that they're coming to Yorkville.
Awesome.
Anything else, Lynn, from your?
No.
Any comments or questions on Lynn's report? Okay, great. Great news.
Before they started working out, they looked like me, but now I'm
yeah. Oh.
Well, I don't know about the hair. But
so there's hope?
This is about a 4-week transformation.
You do it to me, I got to be the best.
I just wanted people to know, too, at the end of the day, the website goes live tonight. So
okay.
I just wanted to wait until tonight, and then we'll be good to go.
Fantastic.
Okay. All righty. Thank you for coming. Okay, let's go on to 5, EDC 2020-11, Menards Final Plat of Resubdivision.
So this may sound familiar. Around this time last year, we were looking at a final plat of resubdivision for Menards, and it was approved. They are coming back to us because they would like to realign that parcel that subdivided lot 1 and 2 so that they can immediately have lot 2, which is the northern lot, available for sale. So they wanted to kind of follow the contours of their building, adhering to the setbacks, of course, so that they would have more space for that future landowner. So they will move forward with the gate that they had proposed before, and then they will look for a future landowner to develop that parcel. Cole is here with Menards to talk to you. If you have any questions, this will move forward to PZC because it requires a planning and zoning review and recommendation, but not a public hearing, so we're scheduling it for the March PZC meeting.
Okay, so we're going from the straight line.
Right.
Correct.
The idea here, obviously, is to be the most efficient. We had to move the lot line to accommodate the new gate setup. B, we moved it, just cut a straight line all the way across there, leaving the Menard retained parcel bigger than it needed to be. And it gradually filtered through Eau Claire that, well, why are we keeping all this other land that we'll never use? A new user on the big lot to the north can take those square feet and do something with them.
Okay.
And everybody said, oh, okay. So So we started over again. And here we are again. That's all there is to it.
Okay.
I can answer any questions.
Any questions, comments, questions?
So it's still going to be commercial, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it just changed the configuration of parcel. It's a lot if you live in a house, but if you're a Menards, it's a little. It's just a little bit of land, that's all.
Okay. Everybody's good with that? So this doesn't go to, it's going to go to
PCC in March,
and then
it'll go back to City Council.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for coming.
Oh, glad to be here.
Let's go on to 6, EDC 2020-12, Kendall Marketplace, final plat and PUD amendment.
All right. This is for the multifamily attached homes. In the Kendall Marketplace area, Abbey Properties is seeking to do a final plat and then also amend the architectural standards and the PUD agreement. So in general, this is in between those single-family homes along Black Larry Shore Lane and the commercial area, actually the Dick's and the old Dick's, the new Signature Fitness, and all the stores there. So the final plat that they submitted is consistent with the conceptual plan and the actual PUD agreement, which it needs to be. And they are actually doing this in phases. I believe there's 4 phases. This will just be phase 1 that they're asking for a replat. And then down the line, when they come through for their next phases, they will ask just to replat again. But as they show in their future phases, those will also be in line with the conceptual plan. So overall, there weren't very many comments on the final plat, as it's already in line with what it should be. Moving on to the architectural agreement amendments, they are requesting to change Article 3, Part 2, which is for single-family attached residential units. This is very similar. In 2018, Billy McHugh came in and asked for a change in the detached regulations, and these are very similar. So the reductions that they're asking for are to go from 50%. All right, let's do this. 50% of the front facades are supposed to incorporate a masonry product. They're asking for 20%. McHugh had 75% was supposed to be masonry, and they went down to 25%. So McHugh got like a 66% reduction. Abbey Properties is asking for a 60% reduction. On top of that, they are also went through McHugh's ordinance from 2018. They're adding all the homes have a 2-car garage with raised panel garage doors. All the windows will have grills, and they'll all use architectural shingles. These are all the exact same things that the single-family homes are. So the overall hope would be that while we're lowering the amount of masonry on the product, that it's going to match and have like a cohesive area with the single-family homes across the street. The one main thing as well is that all of the townhome units will have a masonry product on it, while the single-family homes were only required to have 75% of all of the homes were only required. So every single unit they have will have masonry on it. So, let's see. That is basically it. They provided a elevation, colored elevation of what it could look like, and we put it next to Billy McHugh's homes to give you a little idea of what they would look like together. And Ashley is here from the petition, representing the petitioner, as well as Dave Schultz from HR Green. If you guys have any questions for me or them,
any comments, questions from anybody?
So, outside of the architectural standards, what are we replatting? Because it looks pretty identical to the.
So right now, there's I believe there's 2 lots there. Dave?
There will be 2 lots.
There will be 2
We're
lots.
We're taking 1 big lot.
Yeah, right now it's 1.
Doing phasing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you come back for phase 2, you'll cut off phase 2, and then you'll have another one left. And then for phase 3, you'll have 3 and 1 more, and then 4 you'll already have it done.
It's just the mechanism of how to break it up.
Okay.
If all goes well, maybe it's only 2. But we're planning for 4.
So I have a question. I'm looking at the drawing, and we have Beecher Road is stubbed in there, and then there's a road that comes in into that. I can't make out if there's a name, but it doesn't look like it goes all the way into the town.
Gillespie Lane.
Gillespie Lane.
Okay, so it's Gillespie Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it not continuing through and coming back out on, I don't know what that road is either there. There's no name.
High Ridge.
It basically is turning.
Yes.
High Ridge.
I mean, there's a building
south.
In there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a way to move that building and have that stub come through so that in the future, if Beecher goes through, that road is already dedicated to have that road? That would help that area for flow.
So at the end of the cul-de-sac, the northwest corner of the...
You've got Beecher, mm-hmm. and you've got this stubbed here. This ends here, I'm assuming, the way the drawing is. Or it goes down.
The driveway, yeah.
Yeah.
That would actually, yeah,
and,
end up turning into
here.
An internal street.
You could, like, come and...
Yeah.
I don't understand why there's no flow there. There's a building in the way.
So High Ridge,
for future,
is,
you know,
which
I,
is the north-south stub there, is definitely a city street.
This is here.
Beecher is a city street.
Yes.
Gillespie Lane would be entirely private through the commercial and through the townhome portion.
Correct.
So there isn't a requirement on any of our comp plans for connectivity.
No.
And it might then cause some cut-through traffic.
Cut-through, exactly.
On a public street.
That was an engineering comment. It was, we were talking about it. High-speed cut-through through a residential was not encouraged, so that's why sometimes they do.
And there's no way to make that a dedicated... City Street?
If you make it a dedicated, I think it would have to be wider because we require 66-foot right-of-way, and I think they're only proposing a...
And additionally, Blackberry Ridge Lane does not connect to Beecher.
Yeah, 30.
Was that?
This one?
Yeah, I see that. Right.
Yeah.
It's a
and that was a comment when we had approved it back
that's true too, in the
2006.
Future,
they didn't want it to connect so that people wouldn't, you know, use that as a...
But Beecher doesn't... isn't. This is just proposed now. Does it go there, or is it...
This is just proposed, so it,
this
it does
is,
stop. Right.
So it does stop.
Right.
So I can see where you'd run it. I mean, in the future, we may. I mean, that's changeable if you need it in the future.
Potentially.
This isn't.
Yeah.
So this portion here, that's a private for the development. So our plows,
so is that
our plows would stop at this point here, right?
Our plows would not cover Gillespie at all.
Also private. This is private.
Oh, so they'll never.
Oh, okay.
For commercial.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if anything, Blackberry Shore or Ridge or whatever it is, Blackberry Shore Lane is a public street. So that would be the one that if you ever wanted it to connect, that would be the one that would be more appropriate, at least from a traffic flow. But when we approved this back in 2006, that was one of the main comments of, I think, the subdivisions around there, that they didn't want cut-through traffic of people going from the shopping center up through the subdivision. They wanted to avoid that. Beecher will be the collector, or whatever the correct transportation phrase is, and Cannonball Trail would be the other collector. So you want to divert people to those.
So people in the townhome eventually could get to Beecher.
Yeah.
But people in the houses.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'd have people in the subdivision coming up Beecher, going to Gillespie, and then going up into the subdivision, which is what the residents of the area wanted to avoid.
So you don't think at some point that. If Beecher opens and people start using it, they're not going to go into the private drives and go and try to connect?
Oh, I'm sure that there will be people that do that. But if they know either through mapping or from doing it once and hopefully never again.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying. I mean,
it's not encouraged, but to avoid the high-speed traffic flow through there, which was the issue going from Faxon all the way to Beecher, you could offset Gillespie's extension with High Ridge. If you look at the building placement, mm-hmm. you can split the cluster that's between phase one and two, and you can split those two buildings and connect it with an offset, therefore eliminating the high-speed cut-through issue. There's enough room to do 150-foot minimum offsets between the two. There's just a lot of traffic behind Home Depot, and the rest of the shopping center, that's a cut-through. It's very easy for people to get up to 40, 50 miles an hour on that back area when they're doing deliveries and unloading. So it is kind of concerned of the cut-through that's being used behind the shopping center.
Then quick question. Do you want to tackle his first, and then we'll go to mine? Or?
I mean, sure. I mean, the main intent here is to stick with the plan, not re-engineer, replat, and, you know, stick with what was previously approved. And causing these, basically these units here, a cut through where we're seeing increased traffic. You essentially want to connect to High Ridge Lane.
Offset. So instead of making a connection, offset it to the west.
Another entrance over here.
Yeah, further to about 150, 200 feet. That way allows for connection to Beecher, but eliminates high-speed cut-throughs.
Right, but it would... So, essentially, we have 150 foot the other
right
way.
There. Yeah, so go to the west.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm seeing this as an encouraging cut-through. By offsetting it this way, you're going to encourage cut-through. Because that's obviously going to make it more convenient to cut-through.
And that's what I'm saying, is if Gillespie was extended as public drive or public street, it's reducing the cut through behind the commercial side through the driveway.
Yeah.
But that's all private.
I just, they don't have the names on that.
So that would become a public city road.
I don't want any more roads.
We do have to keep in mind, there has been underground work done in this area, so if we do start changing layouts, it will affect... placement of utilities.
16-inch water main in place, there's sanitary sewer that, you know, I don't know who would incur the cost to relocate.
Probably Kylan's, right? My quick question, is there enough of a buffer between the back of these multifamily and the pond?
Yeah, that has, I think it's a 30-foot.
Okay.
Whatever the ordinance for setback.
So right now, it's a rather large mound type thing. That'll be chopped off.
Yeah, right now, that's the topsoil stock. Okay. That's going to come out, and those units that about the pond will have to be actually lookouts.
Okay.
So we'll have that step down.
It's going to change quite a bit. Cool.
I had one other thing. I got to get my picture. So, from what I'm looking at, backing up to the street, what did you tell me the street was?
Blackberry Shore?
This one?
Yeah.
Blackberry Shore Lane.
So, Blackberry Shore Lane, those units, that's the backside facing Blackberry Shore Lanes or the front of the buildings? So we're going to have the backside of multifamily buildings with that we're reducing what they look like, facing, what's the average price of the house across the street from them? I mean, those are
between like, 380 and 420.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to buy a house looking at the back.
But what are they looking at now? The back of Dick's.
Yeah.
So it's like... And the reason why I bring that up is if you drive down Stone Ridge, is that where the bus barn is for the village of Oswego? Is that Stone Ridge? Okay. Behind Stone Ridge, down Wooley, is a place where houses are like 540 to like 680. They get a little ridiculous over there. They all face the bus barn, a landscape company, and the gym I used to go to. If I was living in that house, I'd be like, no, move them. Well, they were there first. It was like, whatever. They bought the house.
Yeah, but these houses were there first.
But
now we're bringing these
most of them are being built right now, but they're literally facing a pond. Like, if I was a person living in that house, I'd be thankful that it was a multifamily there, as opposed to, because that pond is not full all the time. In the summer when it dries?
No, I have no problem with the multifamily there.
But you're looking at the back of
Dick's
and the dumpster.
Why are we looking at the back of them and not the front door? Why isn't the front door on this loaded?
Because the access road is on the inside, so they wouldn't have cuts.
With all the parking, which if you look, say you go over by Fox Hill,
but they would cut the parking for the baseball field right there. So there's a field right here, and people park all the way down the street. So they've already cut out the access for those driveways on the one side. If they don't have the access on the inside, all of Chris's neighbors are going to park in his grass for those baseball games. Because literally, there's 80 to 100 cars. And they can't park in Home Depot and behind Dick's and stuff like that. So they end up parking down here, and that's got a boulevard in the center with a whole bunch of like decorative grass. It's a madhouse. So in my opinion, living over there, and this is my cut-through to get from the grocery store back to my house, if they're building those and their driveways are curb cuts, we have to build a parking lot for that baseball field. And the only way to do it will be across the street, which means we now have cars parked on the street and at a parking lot.
But I get what you're saying, but why couldn't you flip them? I'm not saying put the driving, the parking, because you still have the parking behind. Like, a friend of mine lived in Fox Hill, and facing Dreyer. So the front of the building, the townhome, mm-hmm. faces the street. There's their parking's in the back. So that what they're proposing is the front with the parking, and parking by would be the back,
no.
I guess.
No, no. So what we could propose to change, we could put landscaping and make a buffer to the street, because people are going to want to have privacy in their back. That's going to be their backyard. And this is how it was approved, that they were going to be facing, those houses were going to be facing. You don't want an under, you don't, what my Timber Glen properties right now, I have my, you have it as a, I don't know what the word is, the garage with the company. So that's not as attractive for these kind of millennial buyers. I had to do that with Timber Glen because I need to keep conformity with what was already approved over there. But you don't want people pulling into the back of their house and parking.
I don't think that's what she's saying. I think she's saying is take it into a traditional row home where your garage is on the courtyard.
Yeah, on the
and
courtyard.
Your front door is on the street side. You know, that's what yes. you had over at Temple Glen. Your front door is opposite of the driveway. That's what she's saying. Which I'm Blackberry Shores.
But people want the backyard.
So now on top of it, I didn't even think of that. They're going to be looking at their backyard.
Exactly.
They're going to be watching. You're going to send your nice
you
house. And
well, I do that right now. My backyard abuts somebody else's backyard. And
sure.
People do weird things.
But we can especially cover that landscaping.
But you can choose to put a privacy fence up. There's
true.
No putting a fence up there.
You can.
You can put a fence mm-hmm. up there.
In the townhome?
Yeah. The backyard mm-hmm. of the town.
And then the houses are looking at the back of the fence.
Which I would prefer versus the back
so
of a Dick's.
You have an option. You have landscaping as buffering, or you have a fence. They're proposing landscaping as buffering because the back of the townhomes would want a backyard. They may want to put a patio. I don't think they want to face Blackberry Shore Lane. The single-family homes do face Blackberry Shore Lane. So I don't think they want to see in someone else's backyard, and I don't think it wants to be vice versa. So they are going to provide us with a landscaping plan. There can be a recommendation from EDC to PZC to consider having them do a particular type or a density ratio for that buffer, and we can review that as well.
How many feet is from the back of that to, there'll be no sidewalks, I'm assuming, so to the road?
There's a sidewalk in the parkway. The road has a sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So it's
okay.
30 feet
this
from
is
right away
strong.
To the back of the house.
Sorry,
guys. Back, of the
back of the property line.
Oh my God,
then there's a backyard, then it's the house.
Oh, nice.
It's right away, 30 feet building.
Okay.
It's like home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just like a front yard would be, but it's going to be their backyard. This seems weird.
Mm-hmm. What would be the right-of-way requirement for the landscape requirement? If it's a rear yard, what would be the landscape area requirement? Do you know that?
You mean the required
yeah.
rear yard?
Required rear yard.
30 feet,
it's 30
right?
feet.
I think it's 30 feet, yeah.
And the landscape would be within that.
Mm-hmm.
So where does this go next?
This is going to March PZC. The PUD is a public hearing. The final plat is not. That'll just be review. The petitioner is also going to be requesting some fee reductions. That's a separate process that will be coming to everybody later.
Once. Why aren't we packaging that all together?
It'll all come to City Council together.
They haven't submitted their application for the fee reduction yet.
And their specific request.
Correct. We do not encourage putting fee structures in PUDs anymore.
Okay. Anything else?
So just moving forward to PZC, did we want to ask for the landscape plan, buffering, some or anything,
I think so.
Start showing
yeah.
something.
I think it would benefit.
Let the petitioner know you're concerned about
yeah.
those, especially those four, right?
Yeah.
In phase one.
Well, I think that benefits both the people looking at it and the people that are going to live there.
Okay.
You know, it's just an unusual concept.
So before
all the other townhomes, you go in the areas, that's the front, and then the
mm-hmm.
parking is a courtyard behind it. You know, it's a townhome. You don't get a yard. That has been the product.
Okay. So before
Things
we take it before PZC, we'll ask them to provide some sort of strategy to get around that.
Okay. I mean, that's why people buy townhomes that don't have any parks.
Right. I just have one other question, and maybe you can answer. So these are townhomes that people will be purchasing, right?
Right.
What's the rules? Can someone purchase one and then are they allowed to rent it?
We haven't developed all of our HOA rules yet, but I will tell you that I don't encourage investments right now because it's difficult for me to get my VA and FHA financing. So the more rentals you have in a property, the less FHA you can get. And then that knocks out a huge buyer pool because we're going to try to keep these under 220.
There's going to be monthly assessments, I assume. So.
Yeah, but we're hoping to not have them ridiculously high. Because we're going to price ourselves out of having a townhouse and people could go buy a single-family home. So I don't want to compete with single-family home. Nope. I want to look like we're providing a value with you have your Dick's, now we've got your Dick's, you have your fitness facility, we have all of our shopping there, you have walkability, which we don't have a lot of that in Yorkville right now. So, and we're going to provide a nice product. I think we did a good job so far. Timber Glen, and those are some of our samples.
The material samples are behind you.
And we're willing to talk to you about colors for siding and such that, and you know, whatnot.
But you're going to have James Hardy on all the...
It's not going to be James Hardy.
Oh, I was going to say.
We're not going to buy the coat. We're going to buy, like, the pit. You know,
okay.
I like Mr. Pitt.
So our zoning code does not differentiate between rental and owned units. So it is legally possible.
Someone could buy one and rent it.
They could buy all 48 and operate them as a campus. You know, we don't have anything in our zoning code that would prevent that.
Are these all maintenance free too then?
Yeah.
And then since you don't have the HOA decks and bylaws set yet, you don't know if you can actually put up a fence.
Well, I'm going to be in charge of making those decisions with my attorney.
So whatever recommendation comes out as a condition of the PUD, they would incorporate into their
standard. And the HOA wouldn't be turned over to a managing company until there was like 75% or something like that. So you can keep control of what's happening. And make easier amendments as you see what people are... Because you get feedback. I mean, I'm getting it all the time with just even 30 home buyers already.
One other thing, can you tell them the square footage and the number of bedrooms?
So we changed a little bit. We're going to have 1,900 square feet, 3 bedrooms, 2.5 full baths. Some will have lookout basements. Some are just going to be slab, depending on the grading where we are. And we're going to have lofts. And most of them have second floor laundry rooms, except for I do have main floor masters on my end units. Because that's what sells. And I'm really hoping to market to, you know, moms and dads that are retiring but want to see like grandchildren and things. But they don't want to, you know, and snowbirds.
30 years for me.
One final comment. The single family detached does not have a requirement to have the stone wrap around the side of the home. It's just on the front. They are proposing to have the stone wrap on the end units as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
That looked nicer.
I have a question, if I may.
No. Yes, Mayor.
Why the 20% versus the 25%, as you pointed out, McHugh Homes doing for the brick?
So McHugh has 75% of their homes have to have 25%. We're doing 100% at 20%. Because well, this is going to look better with attached homes to have matching stone.
Yeah, no, I didn't get that.
And but
there are $400,000 houses too.
But only a third of only 3/4 of them have stone, and all of ours will.
Okay.
Calculation wise, it may come out similar because again, the single family only has the stone 25% requirement on the front facade. They will be doing front and side, so it may end up being similar in number.
And is there, I'm not familiar with their ordinance, so you have to help me with this, is there, I'm not sure the term used, but I call it discretion of the staff to say, you know, it's at 18%, it's at 14%, it's at 16%, is there discretion?
We did that, initially that came with another number, what was it you said? You said 75%. We bumped
But it doesn't make sense to when you have units that are, you know, six buildings together, six homes together, to have it
look differently. You need to have some kind of continuity.
So they were almost similar to Billy in the number of the units and the number of percentage. So they were going to do 75% with the 25% or 20% of the stone. We required them to do 100% of the units in exchange for that 5% reduction.
So, but they haven't come forward with final plans yet, I assume, or have
they? Final elevation?
Final elevation, final floor plans?
I think they've provided
all of them, or there won't be any change. I guess what I'm trying to figure out is if they come back in one of these phases in the future and say, you know, we want to do 18%. The staff have that discretion, or is that...
No. And this PUD is for all of the phases.
Okay.
Only the final plat is done in phases of how they build. And the reason why they did that is so that they don't have to bond for the entire site at once. They can only, they can bond for the portion that they're working on, recoup their funds, and then move to the...
But so there would be nothing that would allow staff to give them discretion in the future to lower that number?
No.
Okay.
It's in the ordinance. It's written for the entire portion of this development.
To do that, they'd have to get...
They have to come
variance,
back
right?
to you.
Yeah.
They would come back to...
It's a PUD.
And the units just covers all phases as well?
Yes. Everything you agree to will cover all of the units built within this development.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? You have direction to...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, let's go on to 7, EDC 2020-13, Renewal of Intergovernmental Agreement with Kendall County for Building Inspection Services.
Okay, so this is our annual renewal. We have had shared or reciprocal building inspection services with Kendall County since May of 2013. This is probably like our fifth renewal. The first year we did a three-year cycle, and then we ended up doing 1 year, starting I think 2015 or so, 2016. As you can see on the chart, Kendall County is benefiting from this, and that we're okay with that. Last year we did 5 inspections for them. Over the last couple of years, we have not had any inspections that they've done for us, and that's because we have expanded our ability with the contract with BNF. The county is willing to move forward with this. We're okay with it. Kendall County has taken this to their PVC committee on the 10th of February, and they hope to have county board approval at their February 18th meeting. We are proposing to move this to the February 11th meeting. Nothing has changed within the agreement, just the dates.
Okay. Any comments, questions on this? Okay. Go for it. EDC 2020-14, 7821 Route 71, special use, 1.5 mile review.
All right, so we received a petition from Kendall County, the planning department, about a special use request they're having. It's within our mile and a half radius, so we get to do the mile and a half review where we can just give comments or concerns or... you know, either say we're in favor of it or against it. The project is located along Route 71, south of the Van Emmon Reservation Road intersection. The site plan shows that they are looking to have a storage area, a gravel storage area for pull trailers only. There won't be any boats or any vehicles there being stored. It'll be, the owners will just be living on site. They've put screening all the way around with landscape pine trees. There'll be a 6-foot tall chain link fence around the area as well with a secured gate. So basically people will want, they'll call up the owners. They'll say, we want to come get our trailer. They'll show up, give them the code. We'll come in, get it, head on out. They're open from 6:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., so most of the day. They did take this to ZPAC for Kendall County and had some residents to the north basically say have their concerns. So this site plan has actually been amended to hopefully appease their concerns with the screening and not having motorized vehicles in there. Let's see. Future trails. There is a future trail going along down 71 at the front of this property. While we don't currently have a, you know, set plan for that, it's just something we want the petitioner to be aware of. And finally, the Yorkville Comprehensive Plan calls for this to future be estate conservation residential. It's one of those things that it's kind of far out from our plans to ever being developed or annexed into the city. So it's one of those, it's very likely if this was ever to be brought into the city, it would be being redeveloped anyway. So it's one of those issues that staff does not have any objection to it, but we brought it before you. It will go to PZC next week, and then it should be coming to City Council at the end of the month. Ron's here, in case you guys also had any questions for him or concerns.
I'm just going to jump in. I've been contacted by a resident from the northern subdivision who is representing many of the neighbors, and they are not happy with this.
Mm-hmm.
I directed them to go to the county. And I'm like, even if we okay it, you know, it's we. You know, I tried to explain that to them. They were concerned. They felt like it was going to get annexed in, so I explained it's not annexing into the city. It's not contiguous to anything. But they are very, they are not happy with
it. Can I make a comment? Why they are thinking that it could be annexing, because Larry Nelson stated that it can be annexed in. And I talked to Jason, and at the meeting he stated that it can be annexed in, and everybody says it can't, so I'm upset at that, and that is why they're saying that. Because there was a member that said that, and
well,
that's terrible.
Yeah. And, well, they were fine to explain it. I'm like, yeah, at some point, if it became too contiguous, but there's nothing even near it.
1 mile away.
Yeah, 1 mile away. But they are not. They have very nice homes over there. It's a very quiet little neighborhood, and there's several that will back up to this, and they're not very happy with it. So, you know, hopefully you guys can work it out at the county level.
That's the beauty of misinformation.
Yeah. Yes.
People use it as a weapon all the time.
Yeah. And they really were misinformed.
Yeah, that's I would call my attorney. That's not cool. From my perspective, comparing this to the stuff that we did on Eldomain with the semi stuff, as long as there's not motorized vehicles and you have a way of appeasing those neighbors by, you know, creating that buffer, whether it's fencing and landscaping, combination of that, you know, and noise machines, whatever you want to do to make them happy, on the onset, it's off of a state route. It will have the ability to kind of pull in a decent amount of traffic, which is awesome. It's not something that is available anywhere else outside of just a regular storage place. And I do know that some of the vehicle storage places are a little bit more expensive than some of these operations because they do have to have the asphalt, so it does have maintenance. The only thing that I want to stress is that buffer, landscaping, fence. You're not going to have lights in the parking lot area, are you?
Yeah,
are they going to be lower?
By the county. Yeah,
but they're going to be the lower ones that are LED.
Yeah, the neighbors don't want that, but it's required by the county. So
right.
I was at 20 foot, and now it's 15 foot. So I'm doing everything
for the height or the foot candles.
Where the height of the lights will be.
Height.
Okay. Because I do know that there are indirect LEDs that people won't even see.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can even look at the gas and wash plants. I mean, when it was originally slated to be over that way, people were like, oh, it's going to be too bright. Well, the biggest problem there wasn't that. It was what was underground. But there are, you can appease that.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm trying to do everything to help the neighbors understand, and It's an NIMBY thing.
Yeah.
Not in my backyard. That's
yep.
What this is.
No, absolutely.
100%.
Because you're literally in their backyard.
Yeah. But, well, I'm 300 feet away. But I have 17 acres, and I'm 300 feet from my fence where the storage is going to be to their lot line. So that's a big distance. And we've been great neighbors. My neighbors are still great. I'm not upset
with
them because they have their view. But it's just like whatever I do, they turn down.
Yeah.
No matter what I do.
I don't know if you've ever driven through there.
Yeah.
It's a very wooded area.
No, absolutely. It's a very, that's a football field. You do have options, and thankfully you do have 14 acres. But
well, I have 40-foot white pines, probably about 80% blocking that subdivision, and I can plant more. But, it's like you said, there's just, and you guys deal with this all the time, I'm sure, but it's just no matter what I do, there's an issue.
Yeah.
And they just keep coming up with something.
Yes.
Ron, are you aware there's a gun range near there and you might hear a gunshot? Just kidding.
I wear a bulletproof vest when I go to the meeting. So, in the county, because the neighbors are a little bit upset.
They might not like the train whistle either.
Let's not start that again.
We're putting $150,000 in the budget for
Arden is not here.
County can do it.
Strike that from the record.
Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay. We have no old business. Do we have any additional business?
Okay, it's 6:44.
Yes.
And that's the journey. Did I do okay, Lynn?